I'm Dimae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to original music by Portland musician and composer David Ornette Cherry. Hear his music at davidornettecherry.com. In the final show of Black History Month, we feature two different African-American stories that document segregation and civil rights in America. First up, we talk with Oregon Children's Theater's production of And in This Corner, Cassius Clay, which highlights Muhammad Ali's youth in Louisville, Kentucky. We'll talk with Artistic Director Stan Foote, Co-Director Jerry Foster, Artistic Director of Pass and Art Theater, and playwright Idris Goodwin. And in the second part of the show, we continue our conversation with Foster and his director, William Earl Ray, of August Wilson's Two Trains Running at Pass and Art Theater. Two Trains Running profiles displacement and gentrification in a Pittsburgh neighborhood and the evolution of the civil rights movement there. A full show today, so stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio are Stan Foote, Artistic Director of Oregon Children's Theater. Hey, Stan.
Good morning.
Welcome back. And with him is Jerry Foster, Artistic Director of Pass and Art Theater, who is working with Stan as co-director. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you. And with him is William Earl Ray, who is directing Two Trains Running at Pass and Art. All connected. Again, nice to see you, Bill.
Oh, nice to see you,
it's
too.
It's been a while.
It's been a little bit.
At least a decade.
Moment. Yeah, yeah, it is a decade.
So it's great to have you all again on stage and studio. So let's start with, and in this corner, Cassius Clay. How much of Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali's young life is covered in this play, Stan?
Ages 12 to 18, so when he first starts boxing, to the Olympics, when he wins the gold medal. So it's a pretty interesting, it's an origin story. So it's the making of Muhammad Ali.
Making of a hero.
Yes.
Yeah, and the hero's journey. I mean, and it ends when he goes to the Olympics then?
Just shortly after the Olympics.
Oh, how exciting.
So the throwing away of the gold medal is sort of the culmination of the play.
Wow. Okay, so, you know, your eyes lit up, you know, when you were talking about this play. What drew you to this production and for children's theater?
The writing. So, and we're going to have the playwright on, so I'm so excited to hear him talk about it. But the writing is amazing. So I picked up the play. It was immediately the day after Donald Trump was nominated.
Oh, my God.
And my staff was in crisis. And I said, we're artists. We need to react. And one of my colleagues on staff just said, look at this play. And I read it in one setting, which is really unusual for me.
Straight
usually
through.
It's like read 10 pages, read the last 10 pages, see if I want to read the middle. And I was just captured by the language, by the style. It's an amazingly written play.
Well, we'll talk with Idris soon. I'm wondering, Jerry, how did you come on board with this project? And how have you been working on Cassius Clay play?
Well, Stan approached me, I believe it was in the summer. Last summer.
Oh, even before that.
Yeah, right. Because he said to me, I ran into him, he said, you know, I have this play I'm going to do, and I want you to take a look at it. And so, matter of fact, it was in the spring. It was almost a year ago.
Yeah, that it takes a long time. People don't realize that it isn't.
That he came to me with that, and he said he wanted me to take a look at it and get my feedback on it. And, you know, anytime you're talking about an icon, you know, there's always that challenge of being true to that story, you know. And you want to make sure that you take people on that journey where they can be right there with you and they can live that story. Even if they sit and they close their eyes and they're hearing the words that are being spoken, the poetry of the words that are being spoken, you know, once you take them on that journey, it's beautiful. And when I read the script, I read it real quick. I said, you know, this is a quick read. This is a pretty good play. So I read it several times over and then we talked. And he said he asked me to direct.
And so you've been working co-directing here.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's been a good collaboration.
It really has.
It's worked out so well. And we really set very few ground rules, just that we would listen to each other and work together. We've worked together before as actor-director. And Jerry and I have known each other for a long time.
It's
so I'm not surprised, but it's just been so easy.
Well, and it's such a great story. I mean, how can you lose with a story about Cassius Clay, right? As a young person.
Yeah. And an amazing cast. Yeah, the cast definitely. Is phenomenal.
Well, you've got LeTevin Alexander. Let's do a shout out for the cast.
LeTevin Alexander, Damaris Webb, Eric Island, Johnny Crawford, Jaron Mitchell.
I just sprung it on you.
Let me see.
I usually wait till the end.
Charles Grant, who is amazing as Eddie. Sten Ikram, who plays our Ziggy Polish boxer.
Got a great cast.
They're amazing. Every single one of them is amazing.
They are.
Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. My guests are Artistic Director Stan Foote of Oregon Children's Theater's production of And in This Corner, Cassius Clay, which opens March 3rd and runs through March 25th at the Winningstead Theater in downtown Portland. Also with us is co-director Jerry Foster, who is the Artistic Director of Passant Art Theater, and director William Earl Ray of August Wilson's Two Trains Running, which runs March 2nd through April 1st at Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center Theater. And we're going to be finding out more about Two Trains Running. But I just wanted to talk a little bit more about Cassius, and we're going to have Idris Goodwin on the phone pretty soon, the playwright. And, you know, I think it's interesting, too, that there's a collaboration with Vanport Mosaic, too, as part of Cassius Clay, that they have a display. And, you know, of course, Damaris Webb, who's in the show, is the co-artistic director of Vanport Mosaic.
Right. She's also our fight
boxing
choreographer.
Consultant.
Boxing
yes.
choreographer. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know
she
that about
fierce.
Her.
She is fierce. She's a Golden Gloves winner.
Wow.
So champion, I guess.
I was so
winner.
Impressed with that when I heard about that.
One of the things I wanted to do was two really points with this show. One is back there. So talking about the South like it was so distanced from Portland, Oregon, and Portland, Oregon has a rich history of blacks in the community, boxing and all of that, and Vanport, and not necessarily a proud history. So it's important to highlight that. So I didn't want to just talk about the South. And I didn't want to talk about back then, so it's very easy for us to distance ourselves from the civil rights movement, say, oh, it happened back then, and it happened in the South, and Oregon
well,
has
segregation and displacement are big issues here.
Oregon has a huge history that everybody should be aware
about
of.
About exclusion laws and segregation, most definitely.
So Vanport seemed like a really really likely partner. Jerry and Passanart seemed like a really likely partner just to make sure that we get it right. It is this point where we can talk about segregation and what happened and all of that. But if we don't bring it to here and now, then I'm not doing my job.
It's also never again, too, right? Because things seem to be cyclical right now, and that's unfortunate. I'm also thinking, you know, this is great to take this opportunity for you to partner, you know, to be, to work with each other, you know as community, as theaters in Portland.
You know, particularly since those issues continue to arise, you know, to rise up. And you want to be able to highlight it but not lean on it, but let it become a part of that story and be able to feel it and see it, you know, let them know that it's not going to go away until we help it go away. You know, we have to change what we do. And if there are those out there who don't want to make that change. But this particular story shows you how, through adversities, how he became who he was, and show you what happened in his life that shaped him as an individual.
Well, and it's important to have these inspiring stories for
definitely,
young people, especially.
And
speaking of stories, I want to talk to the playwright right now, who's on the phone, Idris Goodwin. Are you there?
I am here.
Hey, Idris. So good to hear your voice again. We talked first when your play, How We Got On, was done here in Portland, which was another historical play, right? About earlier days of rap and hip hop. When did you write this play, And in the Corner, Cassius Clay?
That's no problem. Yeah, I believe I got the call to the idea was birthed by a gentleman named Peter Holloway, who is the current producing artistic director of Stage One Theater in Louisville, And he reached out to me some years ago. I want to say it was maybe 2013, perhaps. And he was like, hey, you know, we're doing this partnership with the Ali Center. And, you know, I had this idea that, you know, everyone knows Muhammad Ali. He's this global figure. But very few people remember that he's from Louisville. And, you know, and also very few people know about his early days, like when he was a kid and how he got involved in boxing, blah, blah, blah. And I leapt at the opportunity. I thought it would be amazing. And so so we went from there. I went to Louisville a bunch of times and met people he grew up with and saw his house and saw the park where he played and saw the, one of the boxing gyms where he, you know, started working with a trainer named Fred Stoner. And so and then we opened the play in 2014 on his birthday. I believe it was his last birthday before he passed. It was a huge, you know, the whole city came out, and his wife called me actually and said that, you know, I've read it and I've not seen it, but all my friends have seen it in Louisville. And, you know, we sent our spies and, you know, and you have our blessing to go forward.
I love that. So, how does your play chronicle, you know, you went to Louisville, so you could see it firsthand, but how does it chronicle the segregation in Louisville at the time and Cassius Clay's development as a civil rights advocate?
I mean, we see it happen. I mean, so there's a story, and some people say, you know, there's a lot of contention around it. Some people think it's like a myth and some made up stories, you know, whatever. But there's a story that when he came back from, and this part is true, but the last part of it is questionable, you know, but I like it. And in my own mind, I've decided I think it's true. So when he comes back from Rome in the Olympics in 1960, the first televised Olympics, and he won the gold medal, and he comes home, and the mayor says, "This is your key to the city. This medal is your key to the city." And then, you know, and then shortly after that, him and some of his friends tried to get a burger in a restaurant, and they wouldn't serve him. You know what I mean? And
wow.
You know, he's like, "I just represented this whole country, and you're not even gonna, you know, serve me." And so, legend is that he took his medal and threw it in the Ohio River.
Mm.
And so, I depict that in the play. Because I think that's a really good illustration. Like, you know, it's interesting because then I drew a lot of information from a book called Soul of a Butterfly, which is him kind of in his own words, really talking about his youth. There's not a lot written about him as a kid, but I drew a lot from this book, Soul of a Butterfly, and also like the people who grew up in the area and what they told me and what it was like to live there. Is there was a really strong black community there, and so while there was segregation, it wasn't as intense or as divisive and as violent as, say, like Mississippi or Georgia or South Carolina. And the black community there was very, very tight-knit and really kind of insular in some positive ways. And so I think it was the sort of thing where he was so into boxing and in the world of boxing, and his coach, the guy who got him involved, was actually a white police officer. The story goes that when he was 12 years old, somebody stole his bike. He went up to this white police officer named Joe Martin and was like, "Hey, somebody stole my bike." He was freaking out. And he's like, "When I find the person who stole my bike, I'm gonna whoop him. I'm gonna beat him up." And the police officer said, "Do you even know how to fight?" And he was like, "No." And so he's like, "I'm gonna take you over to, you know." And the police officer used to like bring kids in the area to the Columbia Gym, which is where the cops would train and work out. So there would be all these black kids, you know, in the boxing ring in the same space as these white cops. And this is what I thought was really compelling. And so the play went to St. Louis next. A theater called Metro did it in St. Louis right after Ferguson happened, right after Mike Brown got shot. And, you know, showed it to largely young audiences and would ask them, you know, what did you think was going to happen when you see young Ali go to this white police officer, and he's very upset. And the kids had varying responses, but nobody thought that the police officer would say, "Well, you know, come learn how to fight," you know. And so it also kind of raises these questions about, like, what have we lost? Like, what happened there? That even in this segregated society, there was still the police of that time, that era, still had this kind of more civically minded attitude, you know. And so it's very evocative in that way, and it shows up suddenly, you know what I mean? Like, we see him mostly with his family and in the boxing ring, but then we're reminded in certain moments, oh yeah, there were still limits on him. There were still limits on him as a young black man, even though he's exceptional, you know what I mean, and charismatic and interesting. And then also one of the characters in the play, his friend Eddie, is sort of a composite of a lot of the younger cats who were around Cassius, who were really a part of the beginnings of the civil rights movement. And so they were doing the sit-ins and in the diners and all of that. And that was something at that time, young Ali Cassius Clay was not interested in. He was like, listen, I'm focused on boxing. I'm going to be a great boxer so I can take care of my family. And it wasn't until he got back from Rome that he began to really see, like, okay, you know, I'm not going to do these sit-ins, but maybe, you know, as an athlete, perhaps there is something. And so that's kind of where the play.
Wow.
We see the beginning.
Yeah. Well, Idris, all that you've said is just pretty darn incredible to put in a one-hour play, let me tell you. And I can't wait to see this. This is fantastic. Do you have any final words about it before we are turning back to the production itself?
I'm very appreciative, and I'm so grateful to the whole team at Oregon Children's Theater, and I wish you all the best of luck and break legs and all of that.
Oh, that's
very,
so great.
Very proud of this.
Thanks for your great writing, man. It is incredible. Yeah, really, it's a pleasure to work on.
Definitely.
Oh, outstanding. Thanks, y'all. Good luck. Okay.
Well, it's had several productions around the country, and it sounds like there's going to be more. So congratulations on that. Playwright Idris Goodwin, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So, Stan, Jerry, and William, I just want to ask you all the same question. What does Muhammad Ali mean to you? I mean, you know, is there any kind of personal connection that you want to bring to this?
Well, I was a kid when I grew up with Ali. I mean, we run around, you know, and throwing our fists up, and we was proud. I mean, as a young black kid, you know, Ali meant a lot to us. He was like Martin Luther King. He was like Malcolm X. He was like any of those people who gave us a sense of who we were as a people, and to be proud and to stand up to be who you are, you know. And also, I mean, but that wasn't just Ali who could do that for me. My family did that for me, you know, too. So, but to have someone like Ali out there, it was a blessing. For us.
Well, thank you for that, Bill. Oregon Children's Theater presents And in This Corner, Cassius Clay by NEA award-winning playwright Idris Goodwin. The show opens March 3rd, runs through March 25th at Saturdays at 2 p.m. and 5 p.m., Sundays at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. All shows are at the Winningstead Theater. That's located at 1111 Southwest Broadway in downtown Portland. Age recommendation is age 8 and up, and there is a language advisory that reflects the times, so you might want to call Oregon Children's Theater about that to ask more about that. Running time is 60 minutes, no intermission. Tickets, call their box office, 503-228-9571. Visit Oregon Children's Theater's website at octc.org, and I have that all at stageandstudio.org as well as kbu.fm/stageandstudio. You are listening to Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts. We're now going to turn to the civil rights movement in Pittsburgh. We've been talking about Louisville. Now we're going to Pittsburgh's Hill District in 1969. You know, these two plays actually have some kind of connection here, that, you know, with the themes. That's the setting of August Wilson's Two Trains Running. The main character is Memphis Lee. He has a diner that's scheduled to be torn down. It's a casualty of the city's urban renewal project, which displaced many communities of color, and it's so current right now. Bill, William Earl Ray is the director. Bill, I want to talk to you about Two Trains Running at Passant Art, because you're no stranger to August Wilson's plays at all. In fact, I think the first time I interviewed you was probably about an August Wilson play. I'm not sure. It's been a while, but...
I was probably doing it, actually.
I was probably acting in it.
I think it was Two Trains Running.
Oh. I don't know. I've been doing this show for 20 years, so I don't know.
No, I'm not. Actually, I lived on the West Coast for a long time in Seattle.
But you've done a lot of August Wilson plays.
Yes, yeah. I have. I have done a lot of August Wilson plays. I also worked with Lloyd Richards, who was the mentor to August for a long time at the beginning of his career. I was running a theater company back in the 80s called Indaba, and I came across this play called Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and I'm like, whoa. Who is this person? And, you know, I hadn't read a play like that, you know, in a long time from a black playwright. So from that point forward, I was watching, because a lot of his plays came through Seattle. Ma Rainey didn't come at the time, but Fences
definitely
came to,
yeah,
Seattle, and I saw Fences at the time. And then turn around, he brought Joe Turner came to Seattle, and after that, not too long after that, Lawrence Fishburne came in with Two Trains Running. So that was my first take on Two Trains at Seattle Rep, and I'm like, wow, you know. And then my first time doing Two Trains was in Texas. I had moved back to Texas, and I got cast in Two Trains Running. And then I got called to come back to Portland to do Two Trains Running. And Jerry and I was in it. And then I left and went back to Texas and then came back to Seattle. And I ended up, got a call to come to Two Trains Running. And then a year and a half ago, when I was artistic director of a company in Fort Worth called Jubilee Theater, I produced and directed Two Trains Running. So now I'm back here, and I'm doing Two Trains Running again.
So that is awesome. Really,
it's a large history with that.
Let's talk about the play. What does the title refer to? I can't remember what it refers to.
Life and death.
Okay, running at the same time.
Yes, you have life, you have death. Yeah. Yes.
And what does it say about the civil rights era of that time and the Black Power movement?
You know, it doesn't really deal with. Okay. That's peripheral.
Okay. Because really. It's basically about the two it's people, about Memphis and his
diner. It's about community. Uh-huh. It's about community. There's a diner that's getting ready to be torn down. It's part of the gentrification in the area. That's really still going on right now. Yeah, you got justification
very
going
much
on
so.
In North Portland.
Very
you know,
much
I,
so.
And I told Jerry when I came back up here once, I said, I was looking around, I'm like, what's going on
How here? Long has it been since you've been back here?
Some years, about 10, 14 years.
And you didn't recognize a lot of it, did
No,
you?
I didn't. I'm
it's
like,
changed so
it's
much.
It's changed so much. Yeah. I'm like, Jerry, what's going on? He said, what do you think? You know. And, yeah, I have a big voice.
You do. It's a wonderful voice. Well, yeah, so I see that too, but it's nice to have somebody who hasn't been here for 10 or 14 years to, you know, to go, wow,
yeah,
you know, this
amazing.
City has changed.
It has.
Well, I thought it was interesting, though, the characters are grappling with big life events.
Pretty much,
play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They come, the biggest thing about this, one of the big things about this in this play is the numbers that's written on the board every time they come in because they play, you got so many people play the numbers trying to hit and things. But this play
precursor again, to the lottery.
It's a precursory to the lottery, the numbers.
Oh. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They have numbers runners in the whole bit. So, you know, you have to really look at that history of numbers runners. Particularly in big cities like New York.
So it's like communities would do it themselves.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you still had someone who was calling the shots.
Right.
And you still have someone who you had to go to to get paid, you know. But the play is more about community. It's about these people in this diner, in this community, and how they survive from day to day.
Well, let's talk about some of the actors. I know James Dixon is in it because he's sometimes hosts this show on Stage and Studio on KBOO. But who else is in the show?
James Dixon is playing Sterling. An actor who's been around for many, many years that people know about, J.P. Phillips.
Oh, yes, of course.
Is in it. There's a young lady who's out of Atlanta. What's Cicely's last
name? Ash.
Cicely Ash.
Is she playing Risa?
She's playing Risa.
Risa.
Yeah. She's in it. Kenneth Dembo.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Is in it.
Rick Jones.
Oh, you brought Rick out of retirement. Jerry, that's amazing. Rick Jones is a phenomenal actor.
Yes, he is. I've known Rick. We go way back. There's so many people that in this community that I know.
I don't know if he's in retirement, but I haven't seen him around doing stuff for a while. So
well,
that's awesome.
He's doing this one. Yeah, I was glad to see him when I saw him at the audition process. Jerry is in it. He's
Jerry. Okay,
he's doing it. And a guy by the name of Tim Golden, who's actually, he lives in Walla Walla.
And he drives
to
do rehearsals?
Yeah.
That is commitment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big time. Is that it?
Yeah.
That's a nice cast.
It is, actually.
But, you know, it's so interesting. You have this history with it. And I'm just wondering also, what kind of, are there any kind of outreach or community events, Jerry, that's happening with it? Because I know you do a lot of community stuff in relation to Pass and Art shows.
Yeah, we've reached out to different groups in the whole bit to let them know about this. And one of the things about this play that I don't think we've we've even talked about. The reason for doing this play was to be able, was looking out in the neighborhood and seeing what was going on and how it was changing. You know, there was a restaurant that just closed, the Overlook Restaurant. They closed, but I went by a week later and it was gone.
It was just demolished.
Exactly.
To make room for some kind of chain store, probably.
It's that quickness. And when you're talking about, you know, and when you're talking...
Yeah.
And when you're talking about gentrification, mostly they talk about the displacement of people, but they don't talk about the displacement of the businesses. They lose their source, their funding source, you know, and they go out of business, and some of them cannot recoup from that, you know. And we wanted to make sure that we kept that in the atmosphere so that people would take a look and say, okay, this is going on in this play. Wow, look at this community around. We also have an exhibit that's there. It's called the Portland's Black Neighborhood, you know, that's on loan to us. So it's there at the IFCC also. So we want to be able to have two contrasting things there that people can come see and see how it's changed.
And there's also been discussions about IFCC, too, the Interstate Fair House Cultural Center, with the city maybe, you know, either, you know, letting that space go. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of discussions with community groups. Mm-hmm. And I just want to do a shout out for IFCC because that is a definite neighborhood cultural asset.
Yes, it is.
You know, on Interstate Avenue. Yes, it is. And I'm so glad you're still doing plays there, but it needs to continue.
Definitely.
You have any thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I know they're looking at different ways of making it viable for groups because, as you know yourself, space...
It's ridiculously expensive. And not only that,
it's not a whole lot
not
around.
Available.
You know, exactly. Right. So everyone's vying for whatever space they can get. And so I think that the city have made some strides and that they're constantly looking at ways of being able to make it more viable for groups.
Yeah, we definitely want to keep the IFCC going.
We definitely
want
to keep the IFCC going because IFCC was that center point.
It really was a starting point, too, for a lot of artists.
It really was. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, they had so many different groups in there, and it exactly what it was, culture. You know, they even had Portland Accessible Theater and Northwest Theater for the Deaf.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just the variety in which they had coming through there, it's a wonderful
place. It's a strong history.
It really is.
Passing Art Theater presents Two Trains Running by the legendary August Wilson. The show runs March 2nd through April 1st on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and on Sundays at 3 p.m., all shows are at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, IFCC, located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in North Portland. For tickets, visit passinart.org. You can get all that info at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio, as well as info about And In This Corner, Cassius Clay. We have like 30 seconds. Anything that anybody, any final thoughts?
Forgot two cast members, Jared and Sullivan, both doing great things since I had to remember them all on the spot.
Bill, did you remember all the cast members?
Yes, they're all in there.
And, they're not in.
They're all in there. But I do want to say that one of the second shows I did in Portland as a director was at the IFCC. I had directed a production of Ceremonies in Dark Old Men back when 1980s.
That may have been where we met, I think.
That could have.
Yeah, it could have been. When was that?
1987.
Oh, no, I wasn't here then.
Okay.
You said 97. But that is a long history, Bill.
It is a long, yes.
Well, I'm so glad you're back, and I'm so glad
you're directing.
And who else would be better to direct Two Trains Running with such a long history? So thank you so much, Earl Ray, Stan Foote, Jerry Foster. Thank you all for joining me today on this very lively Stage and Studio. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Judy Feistel. Hear the show again at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and like us on facebook.com/stage_and_studio or tweet me at Stage Letter and Studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going to go out with more music by David Ornette Cherry at davidornettecherry.com.